G'day, it's Gus Warland here. Thanks for downloading the Dead Set Legends podcast. We really appreciate it. And if you haven't downloaded the Listener app, where you can find so many other really cool podcasts, please do that. And please tell all your friends about it as well. And just hit that subscribe button underneath. The show is all about entertainment, all about sport. It's myself hosting it with Jude Bolton, who's a two-time AFL Premiership winner, and also Wendell Saylor, a dual international and a guy that is not short on confidence. Lots of fun. Jude, how's your week been, brother?
Been a good week, obviously, amongst many who are doing the remote learning at home and things like that. So juggling plenty at home and just trying not to be on top of each other. Just keep the family a little bit separated at times, and it's good to just get out of the little bit of a bubble at home and come and see you
idiots. And you won a meat tray.
I did. We did a.
You were so proud of yourself.
Well, we have a bit of a work bingo the other week, and I won the meat tray. So, I mean, how good's a meat tray when you're
better.
In lockdown?
Oh, yeah. You do love meat.
So that was a Lane Cove one, because it had like lamb chops in it. It wasn't just sausages and
exactly.
Steak. Like you had some chops in there, like the most expensive cuts.
Oh, there's roast lamb.
And a Wagyu. Yeah, I'm sure I saw two.
Hey, Del, how's your week been, brother?
Mate, to be honest, the big Del has had a really good week, really quiet. He gave himself a bit of a rest because he's been training at a very big optimum the last couple of weeks, and I'm feeling great. This is going to be one of my best shows, and you're really going to enjoy what I've got to say today.
Beautiful. We've got Mark Spud Carroll coming on the show. We've got the Wallaby captain, Michael Hooper. We've got Andrew Bogut talking Olympics and talking about the Olympics, talking about what's happening in Tokyo. Very, very ordinary last night, the opening ceremony.
Come on, mate. Where's
really ordinary.
It was so negative, Gus.
Extremely underwhelming. Yeah. It was actually to the point, hey, Tokyo, you've had an extra year to do this. Why didn't you come up with something entertaining? It was shocking.
Why are you so negative? The athletes come in, you saw.
That was okay, but the first hour.
Jumping up and down as they came in. Patty Mills, Kate Campbell holding our flag. Let's get this on.
A bloke on a treadmill for the first 20 minutes, just running in the dark.
I want you and Gladys to get together and just like be so negative together, because even what about Asako lighting the...
That was good. Yeah. You know what? It's really good for her to go back out of the limelight, you know, because she doesn't want to be in the limelight at the moment.
Stop it, mate.
Oh, God. She's been on the front cover of Vogue, on the front cover of Sports Illustrated, and now she's written the flames.
You're an advocate for mental health. Come on, mate.
Unbelievable, mate.
Come on, mate. You know better than this.
I want to talk about the doggies now, because I'm wiping the slate clean. Phil Gould made a phone call to all the doggies players, their squad, and put them on notice. He said this: look, I'm wiping the slate clean with all of you. You've got a clean slate with me. You've got the last period of the competition to still make a statement about yourself, both as an individual and as a team, and whether or not you want to be part of the Bulldogs in the future. So this is a real opportunity, Del, but let's have a look at the potential 2022 lineup. When you're talking about whether or not they're going to make the top eight or not, Dufty, Adokar, Naden, Kotrich, Burton, Avarillo, Thompson, Marshall, King, Vaughan. Vaughan perhaps going there?
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Yep. Okay. And Tevita Pengai Jr., Josh Jackson. It's not a bad...
Yeah. It's a quality lineup.
You'd look at that and go, well, they're going to make the top eight. What do you think? What does Gus Gould have to do? And how's that sort of combination with Trent Barrett going to work to make sure they don't step on each other's toes for such a proud club that have been poor now for quite a few seasons?
Well, I'm glad you said about that proud club, because Gus knows what it takes to get a club back to where it is. I know people can bag Gus about the Penrith stuff and that, like, you know, the 5-year. But look where they are now. This is not going to fix itself overnight. The Dogs, when I came through in the 90s and 2000s, when I played against the Dogs, like, I played in the grand final against them in the 98 and all that. Mate, the culture, they're so far away from what they were, and there's a lot of different things and reasons why. But I think what Gus is trying to instill is the history of the club. And sure, the salary cap and all that's changed. They've got that wrong over the last probably 5 to 10 years. You know, you've had the Morris boys there. You know, you've had Dale Finucane in there. But they couldn't retain players, and they got real players that just didn't want to stay there because the culture hasn't been good. The fans and the people that I know, they don't mind if their team loses, but they don't want to see the team getting beat by 60 points, by 40 points. Mm. They want to see a change in the culture. The members want to see a change, and I get that.
I love that from Gus, though, to say the slate is clean, to just say, don't worry about that. You're 2-15, so that's gone, but make the most of it now and what you're going to have an impact towards the back end of this year. Because I hate where sides think, oh, we've got all these new players coming in.
Yes.
We're going to have a great preseason. It's going to be better next year. the work starts now, doesn't it?
It doesn't work like that. Look at the Titans this year. They think, oh, well, we've got Big Tino coming. We've got David Fifita. We're going to be top eight. And I fell under the trap too because I thought, oh, these guys, if they play consistently well on the back of Justin Holbrook's coaching, because we know the bloke can coach, I reckon they'll be top eight. They could be pushing top four. Well, they've been disappointing. But back to the Bulldogs, the players that they're recruiting, they're starting to recruit some class players. But even when you saw a bloke like Matt Dufty, so Matt Dufty's got a year to prove himself too. Because
where does he play though? Adokar wants to play fullback. That's why he's leaving the Storm. He's not going to go from the Storm wing, is he, Adokar, to play on the wing at the Bulldogs?
Yes, mate. If you're getting paid whatever he's getting paid, mate, yes, you are for the time. You're not going to walk in there and try and demand that I want to play at fullback. I think Josh Adokar, he's a pretty selfless player. He might want to play fullback in 2 years, but you don't just go, I'm going to have an off-season and play at fullback. It doesn't work like that. I think as a team in general, I think if Dufty starts at fullback or they compete or Gus and Trent Barrett get them to compete in the off-season, well, then you're putting a bit of pressure on both players there. And I've got no doubt Josh Adokar could play fullback. But, mate,
he's the best winger in the game. Why don't you just be that?
And I'm telling you, like, he's at 100 tries now. Like, if I'm Josh Adokar, I'm staying on the wing. People go, oh, he's not going to get the same sort of ball. But, mate, the bloke can finish. Can I tell you, by the time Josh Adokar finishes his career, we're going to be talking about him in the same sentence as Brett Morris. Mm. He's world-class, mate.
And Wendell Saylor.
Well, I didn't want to mention me, but you're right.
No. Just like, if they can get that synergy for 2022, where do you see them finishing?
I still think they'll finish outside the top eight. I reckon they could finish anywhere between probably, you know, 9th to 12th, I think, you know. But it's – and Trent Barrett – can I say this? Trent Barrett, he's got a tough job as it is because he's got to get rid of players, bring players in, manage that salary cap. But also, mate, you saw how frustrated he was when, like, you know –
press conference.
Yeah, that press conference. And I get that.
The big breath.
I know. But it is tough. But they're going to see something, an improvement from where they are. And I'll be honest, this year – I just thought they were playing better football than the Broncos this year. And I think about it 3 or 4 weeks ago, I thought, well, the Broncos will probably get the wooden spoon again this year. But the Dogs, I thought they turned the corner, but they haven't. And young Lewis, like last week, they don't need that. I don't even know what Cody Walker said to young Lewis.
Apparently you said to him, go back to reserve grade.
I know. That's
but if he did say that, didn't Cody Walker play until he was 25 in reserve grade?
That's right. But
come on. All right, let's move on because we have a special guest dropping by into the podcast. Andrew Bogut now on the line talking all things around basketball, of course, at the Games. G'day, Andrew. How are you, mate?
Good morning. How's it going?
Mate, cannot wait to watch the Olympics live and free on Channel 7. How much are you looking forward to seeing the Australian basketballers and the ladies as well, because they're both big shots at a medal?
Yeah, really excited to see how it all goes. Obviously, commentating the men's game, so I'll be a bit more in tune to the men. But, both teams with a genuine chance to hopefully make it double gold medals, if not double medals.
Bogues, it's Jude Bolton speaking. I read your article around just how the change in mentality of the boomers over this last period about not just wanting to compete against some of the world's best, but actually, you know, give it up and serve it up to them. And, you know, that mentality's really changed and their lead up has been sensational, including the win over the US and Nigeria.
Yeah, it has. It has. I mean, when I first got involved with the national team, and I'm kind of telling those back in my day stories, but, you know, 2004, 2006, 2008, you know, it was at times it felt like, you know, we're going to tournaments to somewhat make up the numbers. Like, there wasn't really a belief in the group that, hey, we can go and go toe to toe with the US or with Serbia or with Spain. Whereas now it's like no, we're not just going toe to toe. We're trying to kick your ass, you know. So that mentality took a while to change. And I think in 16 there were people saying, you know, our goal is to get a medal. And I thought, why set a goal to come second or third? Like why not set a goal to get gold? Go to get first. And if you get second or third along the way, so be it. But set your goal as winning the bloody thing. And that was kind of part of the mentality shift.
Hey, Bogues, it's Wendell Saylor here, mate. You've been a wonderful ambassador for Australia, but you must have been real proud to see Paddy Mills last night, one of the flag bearers.
Yeah, he did real well. Did real well. Obviously, a great, you know, first and foremost, a great thing for Australian basketball to have a basketballer carrying the flag. Obviously, the last basketballer, at least in the male side of things, was Andrew Gaze, and then obviously Lauren Jackson. So, you know, it's been a great honour for Paddy, I know, and just to have basketball at that forefront has been great.
Now, you've got a podcast as well as commentating the Olympics, mate. You've got a little bit on since you hung them up. So that's called Rogue Bogues. Is that correct?
That's right. It's a bit of a mouthful, but it rhymes, so I thought it was clever. But yeah, we do a number of different things. But there's a basketball series that airs weekly, usually drops on Mondays. And the last one we had Andrew Gaze on, the great man, and did about a 40-50 minute Olympic preview of all the teams and all the teams to kind of each star player on each team to look out for and all that kind of fun stuff. So it's a good one to check out. There is a bit of profanity, so you might want to
strong opinions. Ears, love it.
Yeah, it is good though.
Well, I love that. No, I've got to ask you this. I know we tried to be positive and good energy at the moment because there's so much going on. Well, but can I just ask, you and Liz Cambidge, are you catching up anytime soon? I'm loving this, the way it's been toing and froing, and I just love the way that you threw a little bit of something out there not long ago, and she obviously bit hard. She's going through a bit of a tough time at the moment.
Yeah, not too good. Hopefully she gets well, but been in a bit of trouble with the national team and having to leave and all that kind of stuff. So, you wish her all the best with all her demons that she's battling, as I think most of us go through, especially now. You know, the world's on fire, essentially, so especially in Australia. I got no grasp of her as far as all that goes. I don't mind a bit of banter and back and forth, but let's hope she gets the help she needs.
And Bogues, your Bombers are into the eight. Tell us how they're going to go this year.
Look, I'm just happy that we're playing a good brand of footy, to be honest with you. I'm not too worried about the wins. I'm just happy to finally see some sort of system, some sort of culture, some sort of method to the madness, because I think the last decade plus, it's just been so yo-yo and helter-skelter. You kind of didn't know if we were a stoppages team or a free-flowing team or a Western Bulldogs type attack-the-middle team. It changed almost every other game, whereas now we're starting to see some consistency in what we're about. And I'm happy to lose games like that if the boys have a genuine system and genuine punt. I'm not too worried about wins or losses, but I think we're trending in the right direction. I think finals or not, this season's one thing, but building from this season, the momentum into another preseason, I think it's going to be wonders for our boys.
Awesome.
Your job as an AFL commentator is coming under a little bit of stress.
He knows more about AFL than basketball. Exactly.
Yeah.
Good on you, Bogues. Congratulations. That podcast is Rogues Bogues. And, of course, you can watch the Olympics live and free on 7. Andrew Bogut, thank you so much for your time on the Dead Set Legends. Talking about what's happening at Tokyo at the moment, lots of swimming about to start. And, of course, what I thought was a very underwhelming opening ceremony last night. And, of course, not having crowds there makes it very, very difficult. But a couple of good starts by Australia. Australia over Argentina in the men's soccer and Australia over New Zealand in the ladies' soccer. So that's a really good start from us. But let's talk about our favourite Olympic moment, our favourite Olympic athlete. For me, to start the ball rolling, it was lane eight, it was Atlanta, it was Kieran Perkins, just scraped in, obviously in lane eight, the eighth quickest into the final and got the job done. So for me, that just stood out for me. What about you, Jude?
For me, I've always been fascinated with the athletics ever since, Seoul sort of Olympics, when Ben Johnson burst out and Carl Lewis came second but got given the gold and things like that. But I loved Beijing 2008 when Usain Bolt just burst onto the scene and won both the 100 and 200 and then backed it up both in 2012 and 2016.
You win the relay as well?
Yeah, I think he did.
He had a pretty good week.
Yeah.
Reasonable week. And obviously was able
started
to...
Started the whole theatrics around pre-race and stuff like that. He's just... he's one of the great entertainers but could back it up.
Absolutely. What about you, Del?
Oh, look, I've loved athletics for a long time. You know, when I was growing up, athletics was my favourite thing to do. And the running part of it has always been great. One of my heroes was always Carl Lewis, long jump, 100 metres, 200 metres. And then obviously, as you said, going up against guys like Ben Johnson and stuff. So I've always loved him. But then to see a friend obviously do so well at the Olympics in 2000, to go to that and be a part of it for Nike just the whole sort of day, Kathy Freeman, the 2000 Olympics was unbelievable.
Freeman runs up to her, Mary inside, Kathy lifting, goes up to Graham, takes the lead, looks a winner, draws away from Graham and Mary. This is a famous victory, a magnificent performance.
Just a magnificent performance.
Gives you chills.
And can I say this? One of the most humble athletes, I know there's a lot of athletes that have had big egos and stuff. And, we look at Shane Warne and guys like Wayne Carey and stuff and maybe Wendell Saylor, but she's from the person that she was when she grew up and she left Mackay in that 14-15, I've done a few different things with her and that, and she, mate, she's never changed. She's an unbelievable athlete.
Which airport do you get off and you always just take a bit of a film? Like just
yeah, next to each other, right?
Next to each other.
I've only done that once, and that was when my mum passed away, and then I got off, and then obviously there was a thing there at Cathy Freeman. We got voted two of the best athletes in Mackay, in Mackay Serena. But to be alongside Cathy, she's next level, and it makes me really proud. But thanks for reminding me, Jude. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Let's go to all the callers. We hope we can get through them. So many people. Adrian from Matraville. G'day, brother.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good thank Adrian. You. What's your moment?
Yeah, my moment. So many cracking events from the Sydney Olympics, but I don't think anyone can go past the 4x100 men's swimming. Thorpe and all the boys taking it to the Americans. You know, so much for smashing us like guitars, eh?
Yeah. That was good, Adrian. Good call, mate.
Thorpe absolutely mowing down Gary Hall Jr. in that final lap, taking it to everyone. And I think not only that, showing the world that these were the Sydney Games and we were absolutely going to give our best. You really set the entire rest of the Games.
You're right, Adrian. Thank you very much, mate. They were rock stars back then too, wasn't it?
Oh, they were.
Prime time. What about Mitchell and Guy Mia? G'day, Mitch.
Hey, lads. How are you going?
Very good. Mitch.
What about the big jumping jai, time to fly?
Jumping jai to Rima, very
silver
good.
Medal.
He got the stadium pumping.
He did.
He did. He used to be on the darts as well. He used to eat chicken nuggets. He used to smoke.
They reckon down at the AIS he held the record for the longest ice bath, but had to be pulled from the ice bath and then got pneumonia and missed training for a month.
No!
There you go. Let's go to Ryan now in Cronulla. G'day, Ryan.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are you?
Good, thank you. Moment or athlete?
Well, moment and athlete. Dean Lucan.
Yes.
Gold in the weightlift in 84 when he had the bronze wrapped up and the coach said to him, if you lift this, you can pick up the bronze. He said, well, what do I need to lift to win the gold? And his coach said, don't worry, you can't lift it. He said, well, I didn't come here for the bronze.
Wow. Yes. And he was a fisherman, wasn't he?
Yeah, the tuna fisherman. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and won the gold and pulled the pin, so that'll do me.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think he's had a few dramas since then, hasn't he?
Oh, but, mate, yeah, I think that can happen to anybody, mate.
Yeah, exactly. We've got plenty of that around. Thanks a lot, Ryan. Boys, we've been doing this show for about 18 months. We've spoken to many legends. When it comes to rugby league legends, not many better than this man.
Look back at the big things in rugby league from the 80s and 90s, our next guest was one of them.
Harold Harrigan, it was predicted!
He played over 200 games, including representing the Blues in Australia.
Paul Harrigan is on the ground.
And also had time to win a premiership in 1996. He headed to Hollywood after footy to keep Russell Crowe out of trouble. And, well, that sort of worked out well. Please welcome the sportsman, tough man, and now author, dead set legend, Mark Spud Carroll.
Yeah, Spud Carroll, and he's got a new book out called Spud, The Mark Carroll Story, the foreword by Russell Crowe, written with his great mate Adam Hulse. How are you, Spud?
Oh, good morning, man. What an introduction. I've never had an introduction like that, but I'm not a great football mate. I was a bloke who just went hard. I trained hard and from the western suburbs of Sydney. Nothing came easy, and it was a game I absolutely loved since I was the age of five. So, Yeah, but thank you for the introduction.
It's a pleasure, mate. Well, you know, we've all known each other for a while now, and we think you're a great man. And I love the fact that you've decided to put down all your thoughts in a book. How exciting was that for you to do that with Adam? And was it making you feel like it was just getting a lot of stuff off your chest as well?
I've always wanted to write one, Gus. I would have loved to have done a book with the Chief, but that didn't come about. So I remember, it's got to go back a couple of years ago. Myself and Adam were doing something with Fox, and we spoke about a book. And when COVID hit, I'm just sitting exactly where I used to sit with him. I'd have a two-inch new in my hand. We'd talk for an hour. He'd record the what I was saying as in story time, and then he'd put it out for paperwork. And the way this guy writes, his workmanship is incredible. I then sent it off to a couple of mates, and then they'd say, Spud, it sounds like you. I said, well, it is me. But the way he's written it, I'm absolutely rapt. I've got some great little stories in there. Life after footy, it's just fantastic.
Mate, Spud, it's Del here, mate. Congratulations, mate. Like, firstly, and look, you know, you played for Australia, you played for New South Wales, and I think you're underselling yourself, mate. When you talk about tough players in the game, and I came through in those early 90s, I just knew as a young winger, it was winger in, and I'm thinking, oh, no, Mark Carroll, I've got to find some footwork. And it was one of those things as a young winger, I think it made you. But what I loved about Spud as a player too, he played tough, but off the field, mate, whatever happened on the field stayed there. You shook hands, mate, you caught up afterwards, and I got to do plenty of like tours and that with him for testimonials, but also more importantly, I got to meet his family. You know, his son, his daughter, and his wife, and you know, they've been a big part of what you've done as a footballer, but also after football as well with your fitness.
Yeah, thanks very much, Wendell. Yeah, I've got a fantastic family. Monique did a great job bringing the kids through with their schooling, and like I said, life was about footy, but now in life after footy, I've got a gym and the support you've got to have a support network, but it's just one of those things in life, yeah, that we were born to play rugby league, and we'd and save lives. We put smiles on people's faces, and at the end of the day, the way I used to play, at the end of the day, you shake hands and move on. You don't hold any other grudges. You move on. But on the field, it was game time.
Spud, it's Jude. I was just interested. Obviously, we sadly lost Bob Fulton this year, and you know, he had such an impact on your career. I just wanted to get a sense from you. What sort of impact did he have when you turned up as that Westie, you said, and you turned up at Manly in '94?
It's quite incredible, Jude. I'm so happy that we end up getting Bozo to do his own chapter in the book, and he absolutely hammers me, which is great. It was 2 months before his passing. I was in shock when it came about. I didn't think Bozo was crook. He never showed he was crook. But I just think I remember when I walked into Manly, and back then he used to love big blokes, and I was huge. I was about 118 kilo. I had the mobility of an ocean liner. I could lift cars. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, mate, Bozo, I thought you want me big." He goes, "Mate, you got to get down to 108. I said, "Geez, I was just there." He goes, "You're training with him." And he pointed at Des Hasler, who's a great mate of mine now. And all I did was chins, dips, push-ups. I got down to 108, and I represented my country, represented my state, and I won a competition under Bob Fulton. And there's things Wendell's going to attest. He would have had coaches wish they liked their second dad, and Bob Fulton was one of those.
Amazing.
Mate, I was going to say, I know you do a lot of things. I know you love your CEDO and that, and I think Maroon always plugs your CEDO, and you're doing a great job with Fox and your commentary and stuff. But, mate, you know, one of the funniest things, I think we've roomed together a couple of times on the Jack Newton Celebrity Classic, and it's been great. His son's been there. But what about that time? I think it was in Twin Waters. It must have been, I don't know, mid-2000s. We had this arm wrestle for at least an hour and a half. We both wouldn't give. Mate, people were throwing in money. The boys, mate, Spud and I, we couldn't beat each other.
Wouldn't give in?
No, we had like the big crowd there, and Spud and I, we loved it too because he wouldn't give. But how good was that, Spud? And all the boys were around. And, you know.
Mate, one of the chapters in the book, Wendell, is when I was a young bloke, 19, I ended up going to Parramatta Westfields to buy a vinyl back then. Remember the old vinyls? 33s and the big ones. And there was a guy up on stage, and he was the biggest human I've ever seen. His name was Scott Norton. If you look up on the internet, Scott Norton, he was an arm wrestling world champion. Anyway, I ended up getting an arm wrestling championship back then, because it was a show called Over the Top.
Yes,
it was a movie that came out with Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, arm wrestling. Remember. Turned his hat backwards,
So I ended up getting through. I won that day. I got $1,000. I ended up representing New South Wales. So internally, Wendell, the way I've been brought up, I don't like getting beaten on anything. It can be a Monopoly. It can be playing cards. When it comes to arm wrestling, I still remember that day, mate. We were sweating bullets.
Yes.
I guarantee you gave, I gave. Yeah. But I look back also, thank God I didn't. That probably would have been you and I at the finale of that that arm wrestling champ they did on Channel 9 that time. Unfortunately, it was Ben Ross. Yeah. It was one of those things. But I guarantee you, mate, the show wouldn't be long enough for you and I to do an arm wrestle.
100%, mate. Oh, you're a champion, Spud. We love you, mate. You're doing a great job with your fitness stuff. And, mate, I know when I was out of the game, mate, you were rock solid. You and guys like Wayne Gieber. So thanks, mate. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Wendell.
Good on you. Spud, the Mark Carroll story, the forward by Russell Crowe. And, of course, that book is available to all good bookstores and online as well. Spud, thanks so much for your time on the Dead Set Legends, brother. Time for Flog or Not.
Well done, boys.
You know you're on air, don't you, Wendell?
Yeah, I love it. I don't care.
When you speak into the microphone,
what I love.
Gary Schofield for saying the Australian team should be banned from next year's Rugby League World Cup after pulling out of this year's comp.
Flog.
Yep, flog.
Flog as well. The commentators for calling Blake Ferguson Fergalicious.
I don't mind it. It's good. It's good. It's excitement.
That's what
he likes to call himself. And he's
call him what you like. Fergusonus. Fergalicious. It's bloody beautiful from Ferguson.
Yes, I'm happy. Good on you,
Does
Fergie.
Anyone love footy more than Vossi.
Yeah, he's up. He's up the top of the tree.
Okay, there's plenty more as well that we could go through. Yeah. Appy Coruscant, of course.
No.
Rory McIlroy for being a pork chop. But what about John Coates, the Australian Olympic boss, for this awkward lecture towards the Premier of Queensland?
You are going to the opening ceremony. I'm still the deputy chair of the Canada Leadership Group. And so far as I understand, that there will be an opening and a closing ceremony in 2032. And all of you have got to get along there and understand the traditional parts of that, what's involved in an opening ceremony. So none of you are staying behind and hiding in your rooms, all right?
Yeah, terrible mate. Lecturing and just well, mate, talking down. There was a moment talking to celebrate. To. When we've just won the 2032 Olympics in Brisbane.
Yeah. Just an opportunity to step up.
Oi, John Coates, the boss there. I'd propack you.
Yeah, he's a flog, there's no doubt. And that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to hear us live, you can catch us every Saturday morning on 104.9 Triple M. We'll be back next week, of course. And thanks for listening to us on the Listener app.